Yes, indeed. Welcome to, as we do an impromptu Inside Florida Racing special for you tonight. We are live from the Ellington studio, and we're going to be here with you now right on through the end of the Snowflake 100 tonight. They've got plenty of racing action going on there. We're also going to check in with East Bay Raceway Park. The Crate Late Models are in town. That includes Kenny Schrader doing some preparations for the big end-of-month show, and he's getting himself ready a little bit, I'm sure, for the Winter Nationals next year. Also going to turn around. We'll see if we can't touch base with some of the folks down at Charlotte County Speedway, the Fast Motorsports, having their final extravaganza of the year tonight, and we will talk to them about what's going on with who's going to win the championship and who locks it up, who finishes in the top 10, and how well they do. Looks like some of the first reports coming in right now as we go to Jack Smith. Hey, Jack, what's up?
I just wanted to brief you on a little incident that just happened. Right after the kids qualified, Anthony Campy qualified fastest, by the way. After the kids qualified, Danny Anderson brought his truck out onto the track to run a couple of laps to shake some stuff out, and he shook all the transmission fluid out. It caught on fire, and it burned badly.
Is he okay?
Not a pretty shot. So he'd been having transmission problems all weekend. He went back up to Brayton's in the day, sent some people up there, brought another transmission down, put it in the truck, brought it out here to do a couple of laps just before qualifying, and it burned up pretty good.
Did he get hurt?
No, he was just fine.
Okay.
It was a bit scary. I got photographs and stuff. It was a bit scary for a moment, but they got him out pretty quickly. It was a pretty good engine compartment fire, no doubt.
Well, now, you're going to have those pictures up later tonight, probably?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, we just went live on the stream as we're going to start talking about what's going on at the Snowflake, at East Bay Raceway Park's Crate Model Race, and down at Ponte Gorda for the Fast Extravaganza. So keep us advised.
Anthony Campy was the Fast qualifier. I think there was about 14 kids. I think there was one that didn't qualify. He's just going to start at the end, but the fast truck pros are out there getting ready to qualify now.
Okay, well, here's some big.
And we're going to get a chance to see 10-year-old Daniel Miller race tonight for the first time in the mini cup.
All right. Hey, listen, listen close, because you're going to want to know this. We just got word from the Snowflake Snowball preliminary races that Jeff Schofield has withdrawn from the qualifying race. He loaded his car up, and not sure if he's decided it's just too far to come to take a chance on tearing his equipment up at this point, but he would have had to start about 14th or 15th in a 17-car field trying to qualify only three spots. Probably. We'll find out more about that and a lot of other things from that. All right. Thanks a lot, Jack.
Bye.
All right. Jack Smith live from Ponte Gorda on cue and on time. So we will keep you advised of what's going on around the world. We're just coming up on 6 o'clock. If you got here late, you should have been here early. That's all I can tell you. Yes, you are back with Short Track America's Inside Florida Racing Special Edition here on a Saturday night. You normally hear Saturday Night Live later on this evening, but we won't have any more of those until about February of next year due to the scheduling that goes on throughout the state. But right now we are going to try to find out more information about what's going on at the Snowball Derby, so hang with me as we get right to it. Inside Florida Racing, man, you're here.
Hey, Bill, what's going on?
Not much. Steve, how are things going at the Snowball Derby?
Let's see. Snowflake qualifying just got over, and we qualified 61 cars, and Corey Rubel from Dothan, Alabama, set fast time. Believe it or not, with a crate motor, he ran a 17.10, which would have put him 10th in the Derby.
Wow, that's not bad.
Right, and now as far as Central Florida guys, the only one that's in so far in the top 30 is Jeff Jaquette. He qualified 24th with a 1770.
He did 1770 there. Do you remember off the top of your head what was it he did yesterday for the
17.04, I believe.
Yeah, so it's not as fast, but yet not so slow that you'd be surprised. The crate engines apparently hold up well on that track because it's a lot of cornering, and you've got to make sure you get through the corners well.
Well, Corey Rubel, who set the fast time, he barely let off in the corner. I mean, he had to be holding his breath. It was pretty amazing, actually.
Well, tell us some more about the qualifying. Anybody surprises that were up high or big surprises that were down low?
Well, we've got Keaton Hanks. He is an ASA driver from Kentucky. He qualified second. And actually, last year he set fast time and ended up getting DQ'd for something to do with his rev limiter. But he passed tech this time as far as I know. And let's see, Jack Smith from up in Indiana, he's one of the big ASA guys up there. He qualified fourth. Cale Gale, who drives for Kevin Harvick in the Busch Series now, he qualified 12th. Let's see here. David Strimme, he qualified 17th. A.J. Foyt the fourth, which is A.J. Foyt's grandson, he actually, let's see here, he is 21st. And pretty much that's the names that most people would recognize. Ronnie Sanders, who's a veteran, a former Snowball Derby winner, he qualified 20th.
Now, does the Snowflake have the same kind of situation where the qualifying goes on, then you lock in 30, you go to some last chance races, and you get three out of each of two last chance races? But do they also?
The difference is the Snowflake qualifying races are 15 green flag laps for the Snowball or 20.
Now, do they have provisionals for past champions and stuff for the Snowflake, or it hasn't been doing it that long, so they haven't done that yet?
No, what they'll do is they'll actually use the Five Flag Speedway track points for that, and I don't have who the provisionals will be, but that's what they would do is go back onto that, and if they don't use that, I believe it would be a promoter's option after that.
Well, I'll tell you what, now, Five Flag Speedway, the Snowball Derby, of course, being one of the longest-running historical races in the state, but they do take care of their own, and I like that they use their own local blizzard points and so forth to help their guys that don't make it into the big races to have an opportunity to at least get in there.
Yeah, that's true, but I tell you, on the blizzard race, you say local guys, and that is true. We do have people like Eddie Mercer and Scott Carlson, et cetera, but we get like Joey Center got one of the provisionals. He's from Georgia. A lot of our top 10 guys were, from Kentucky. We had a guy that finished ninth in the points from Idaho. But yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, the ones that support the track, you know, I mean, they don't necessarily have to be local, but yeah, the ones that support the track, they do get the provisionals.
Well, that's awesome. And to believe that, how many blizzard races are there in that series at the end of the year?
There's five, and usually they'll start in April, and the last one's always in October. And what we do is most of them are doubleheaders with Mobile International Speedway in Alabama, which is only a 60-mile drive. And what we do, they're 100 lappers, and they're 4,000 to win. And then there's a $1,000 bonus to the highest average finisher. So we get a lot of people from out of town because they know they can come and run Friday night and Saturday night and only an hour away. And we had 31 cars per race for those this year.
That's awesome. That's very awesome. And that's pretty cool, the guys who come from Kentucky, Tennessee, to come that far, but have the opportunity to run two nights in a row for some good money, so it's not a bad trip. Hey, listen, Steve Meyer we're talking to, right, live from Five Flag Speedway. Now, Steve, let's explain who you are while it's quiet enough to hear you, and that is that you're the driver correspondent. Explain what that is at Five Flags.
What we found out here is a lot of the tracks, I don't know if they call their drivers and let them know that they're wanted, but basically what we do is we call them and say, hey, are you coming? Like to have you back, appreciate you coming, and just contact them. And what I do on the Blizzard races, they don't usually pre-enter, so I call them and I get a list of who's coming, so I can post it and advertise it, and Tim Bryant, who's the promoter, he has a good idea of what to expect. So usually if 35 of them say they're coming, we usually get at least 30 of them, so it's pretty accurate, and it's just, just to let them know they're wanted and let them know we appreciate them, because without the drivers,
there is no racing. I mean, they're the show, you know.
Well, yeah, but without guys like you behind the scenes, man, there'd be a lot of tracks that'd be struggling still even worse than they are. We know everybody's down in attendance, down in car count a little bit, but it's just amazing that you guys put forth the effort you do. And, of course, I'm sure you're getting paid with hamburgers and sodas, but it's pretty neat that you go out of your way to do that. And a lot of the drivers know you by name because they say, oh, yeah, Steve called me.
I probably pester them to death, but I hope not.
Well, that's pretty cool. Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you again. What's up next tonight, and what will we be hearing about?
Okay, we had 50 modifieds qualify, and I'm sorry I don't have the information on that. I was kind of out of the loop right then, but we'll have they took the top 30 on that, too, I believe, and we'll have a one last-chance race for them. Then we'll have two Snowflake last-chance racers, then there's 30 cars will be eligible for those. And then, of course, the two Snowball last-chance races. And then a 75-lap modified race and the Snowflake 100 all tonight.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I know you won't have long in between races, but hopefully you can give us an update as each one happens, and we'll interrupt our musical interlude we're pulling back here in the meantime and try to make sure we keep people up on it. We'll also be going to East Bay Raceway Park. They've got a big crate late model race going on, Kenny Schrader in the house and all the boys from here locally. And then we'll go down to Charlotte County Speedway, talk about the Fast Motorsports Extravaganza a little bit as they finish off their season and crown a champion. So we'll have a lot on the tab tonight. Steve's going to hang with us, and we will keep you up on it. And before you go, Steve, I got to check up on one of our local guys. You kind of gave me a brief synopsis earlier that it looked like he wouldn't run the qualifier, and that was Jeff Schofield. Did you get any more on that by chance?
No, I haven't. I have not been able to get down there and talk to him, and I do see that his car is loaded up. I had it from secondhand information that he was not going to run, and it appears to me that he's not. I don't know the reason. I'm just assuming sometimes if they have to start way in the back like that and it's a 20-lap race, they just assume load them up. They don't want to risk tearing them up because, see, last-chance races for the Derby can get kind of wild sometimes.
There's no doubt about that, and I'm looking forward to hearing about this one. I got a question. Stephen Wallace is always a big name and helps bring a few people, I'm sure, to check out what's going on. His father is usually on a cruise this time of year. Now, I don't
know. He's not on a cruise, and I heard where he was, but to be honest with you, I cannot remember. I do know that he's on some sort of vacation, though.
Yeah, he's on.
Yes, Stephen Wallace, you know, I guess you already know he didn't qualify on time, which was really surprising because he was a rocket in practice, and he was just squirreling all over the track. You know, it's a bonsai run, and all you got to be is off of a tenth or two, and you're out of the field, you know.
Yeah, so he'll be in one of those last chance races. I'm sure we'll look forward to hearing about it. But I think his dad must be on that boat. He was going off the coast of California and down to Mexico this year. So
actually, now he is in the field because he's the most recent.
Oh, that's right.
Champion, so he's in.
Oh, that's right. He doesn't have to run in that qualifier. That's correct.
And also, one more thing for your listeners there. David Rogers, you might have already told him, is on the pole for the first last chance race. He missed the field by 0.04 of a second.
Yeah, a lot of the folks picked up on that. I saw on the message boards and stuff already that he had missed it by much. But they'll start odds and evens after the 30th, so it'll be the 31, 33, 35 qualifier in the first last chance race and 32, 34, 36, and so forth in the second one.
And Butch Miller will be on the pole for the second one.
Cool. All right, Steve, thanks so much for checking in with us, man. We look forward to it.
Okay, you take care.
All right, Steve Myers, ladies and gentlemen, live from Five Flag Speedway as we bring you the information as quickly as possible from the tracks. Well, we haven't gotten much more word out of the information that we had before when it comes to what's happening at the Snowball Derby. Steve Meyer keeping us advised, and he'll be waiting until after the last chance races to give us another update. Haven't been able to hear from East Bay Raceway Park, although they were in hot laps when I checked with them earlier. Kenny Schrader was there, and several others from outside the state as they prepare their crate late models for the end-of-year run down here in the south. A lot of guys will be gaining some information and coming on down, I'm sure, to join in as the next few weeks have crate late models in action at East Bay Raceway Park. And they will do that through a special December race, and somewhere, here it is right in front of me. I have the entire lowdown here. Tonight being December the 2nd, crate late models. Open wheel modifieds are in action tonight. Outlaw 4s and 4-cylinder bombers. Then next weekend on the 9th of December, they'll have crate late models back in the house. Open wheel modifieds, street stocks, and Outlaw 4s, 4-cylinder bombers once again. Lots of practice going on, 6 through 9 p.m. on the 14th for the big crate late model weekend. This will be a two-night show, December 15th and 16th. They will have the crate late models in action at East Bay Raceway Park. 15th will be crate late models in action, open wheel modifieds, and limited sprints. Ladies' powder puff race will be also continued that night, and that is in honor of Miss Dixon, as she lost her life in a tragic accident on a four-wheeler some years back. And Rusty Dixon going to be on hand, I'm sure, as part of that festivities. Crate late models in action again on the 16th, which is the Saturday night, Friday night being the 15th. And they'll have the Outlaw 4s, 4-cylinder bombers, street stocks, and a full fan participation race. That, I'm sure, sponsored by J.R. Prather and the Tampa Bay Auto Sales, along with Jim Bargo and his Bargo Auto Sales over in the Sefner area. So glad to see all of that still happening at East Bay. Whit Holly will give us a call as soon as they're done racing tonight, so that should be normally for them around 10:30, 11 o'clock, so we'll make sure we hang out till then if we can. If we can't, I will tape that interview when he calls me, and we'll have it right back up as part of this programming effort for tomorrow morning for you. But right now, we're going to kick back, relax, and wait for the phone calls to come in. We'll interrupt the music anytime we have to, as soon as we have to make sure you get the information as soon as we have it. So, kick back, relax, grab you a nice ice-cold one, and we will crank the music back up, a little mixture of country and pop and rock and whatever else we've got loaded in the computer, going to come at you in random order, so hang in there with us. All right, welcome back to our Saturday night special edition of Inside Florida Racing here at Short Track America. We're trying to bring you all the information that is news from around the country. We've gone out there and talked to a few folks. We've got Kevin Finney talking to us from North Carolina. We had a young lady talking to us about her boyfriend running the number 52 at the Snowball Derby, or at least the Snowflake. I didn't catch which one, actually. Heck, I guess I'll have to go back to the message board and track it down again. But anyway, I want you folks that are out there listening to me, give me a call. It's just that easy. Pick up your phone, dial the numbers, 941-776-2910. That's my studio line right into the studio here. You'll talk to me. We'll talk live on the air about racing, anything you want to talk about or complain about. If you got a question, you don't understand something about how they set up the lineup for the Snowball Derby, how they do things for provisionals or anything else, we'll try to answer your questions. If it's a question that I don't know the answer to, I'll be more than happy to tell you I don't know, and then I will try to find out the answer by the end of the evening. So please just pick up your phone, give it a punch button there, and hit the 941 area code. Of course, you may have to dial 1 to get it easy, but 941 area code 776-2910. As the phone calls come in, we'll talk to you about anything you want to talk about in racing around the world or right here in your own backyard. And we will also be more than happy to plug your business or talk to you about your race team or talk to you about your favorite track. Anything else you'd like to talk about, it's free, and it's just that easy. I guess it isn't free. You probably got to pay for the phone call at some point, because I don't have a toll-free number yet. We ain't got that big. We look forward to seeing you on a Tuesday night now. You can come down to Bradenton, Florida. Now, that's just plan your vacation so that you're in Bradenton, Florida on a Tuesday night, and stop by and say hi, and we'll be more than happy to talk to you there, too. But that's the Real Racing USA show. Comes to you live from the Snook River Grill. Excuse my yawn, but it is getting a long day. Snook River Grill used to be called the Fumble Inn years ago, and Karnak.com did a show out of there called Real Racing Talk Radio. And I've visited and been there a couple times myself on that show. But Now we do Short Tracks America's Real Racing USA out of there, and that's kind of a combination of both shows, seeing as we have all three hosts from the two shows, myself from Short Track USA and Rick Angies and Jack Smith, both from the original version of Real Race Talk Radio. So we do that show out of there. We like to talk about local racing as well as things outside the state, and that's one of the things we're focusing on tonight is the Snowball Derby. There are some Florida racers in it. I believe there's two, three, four, five, probably about eight that have made the race, and the rest come from other parts of the country. So that's why we're talking about all of those great racers and races going on up and around the country. So if you know anything about any of those guys at the Snowball Derby or the Snowflake 100 that comes up here a little bit later tonight, they'll be running the Memorial Race, the Snowflake 100, and we'll bring you that information also. Let's see, what else is going on in the world? I didn't get out there and do any cheating yet, as some shows would do, and go to some of those other sites to check them out. So maybe I should, but I hadn't, and see what else is going on in the world. There may be some other races still going on, but I don't think there's too many races north of the border, so to speak, with Tennessee and Kentucky that are still racing, because it's just gotten too cold, and everybody kind of shuts it down for the season rather early up in our northern tier states because of the snow and all the other things you have to deal with. Taking a peek at, we got a couple more people posted here. Let's see if there's any new questions as we do the best job we can. Well, there's a nice little remark from Rick. Rick, 16BHSO, Hobby Stock, I bet, in Putnam County Speedway. Rick's listening in. He enjoyed listening to Kevin and I talk about the North Carolina and Florida racers and all the other stuff going on at Snowball. Racing Photo 68, I just want to say great job on the broadcast. It's my first time listening, and I want to say good luck for David Rogers. There we go, David Rogers fan. And at the first qualifier race, go get them, David, and the TM Ranch crew. So that's pretty cool. I think David's starting on the front of that one, isn't he? He is racing in the Snowflake Derby tonight, and I heard that the last chance runs for the Snowball Derby just started, so we've got some time yet. Roxy, trying to keep everybody up to date, too, as we try to find out more information. Hey, Roxy, you got to call me then. If you've got an update and you know what happened with the 52 yet, call me and tell me. That'd be great. Wow. It's awesome. And it's great to not only use this medium of being able to stream a live voice and or read a message board and do all the things that we do here at Karnak and Short Track America, but to be interactive and to have you folks give us a call, talk to us, and other folks listen in and enjoy it. And that's what it's all about. That's why we're here. So if you want to give us a call, pick up the phone, 776-2910 in the 941 area code, 941-776-2910. We'll be more than happy to talk to you. Meanwhile, we will have to struggle ourselves back to the old music, and I'm sorry I don't have a giant music library built into this computer yet, but I'm getting better. I could not find an ABBA song. I did find ABBA albums. Yes, I still have albums. Album. I always say albums, and it's album. Anyway, I found some ABBA albums, but I got like 250 old albums from the 60s and 70s, but I can't do much for you right now because I don't have anything to run them on right at the moment. It's funny, I got all those albums and no turntable left. I destroyed it in a move some years back, just never bought another one. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, what we're going to do is I'm going to take a little walk on the wild side here. Now, many of you watched the NASCAR week in New York, and you probably watched the NASCAR ceremony the other night, and I want to get your comments on that. I'm a little torn between the pomp and circumstance being kind of okay, and yet it's so outlandish, and these guys are so far out of their element sometimes it seems like it's, you know, a little bit too much. J-Mar, for what he's worth, he's a good guy, and he does a lot of great TV and radio and so forth, but the off-the-cuff stuff that he could come up with is kind of, you know, cheesy at best. And if it hadn't have been for poor Kyle Busch, stumbling on calling his current girlfriend either his ex-wife's or ex-girlfriend's name, I think the whole night would have been a disaster when it came to the funny bone. But Kyle took it in stride and realized, you know, hey, you make mistakes and everybody does it. I've called drivers by the wrong name looking at them. So I realize you can make mistakes. But he took some abuse all night long as everybody made sure that they knew their girlfriend or spouse's name. But I wanted to get comments on that because a lot of folks said it was just so stupid and so idiotic to go that far to hide out in New York and try to make, you know, the sponsors happy. I guess that's why they go to New York. Maybe somebody can straighten me out. But maybe I just don't see why you go to New York to doyle something out to your sponsors who all live nearby when you're racing in North and South Carolina or Florida and, you know, Texas and stuff. Just seems strange. Excuse me, I'm just going to take a little drink. No, there's not Santa Claus landing on the roof. But it's a cold one. It's called Fresca. Yeah, my choice of drink is Fresca. Hey, all right, let's see here. If I make a few moves here correctly with this stupid program I got in here, I think I can track down some pretty cool information. So let me see if I can get it to work itself out. Let's see. Charlotte County Speedway, of course, Fast Trucks, Fast Kids on tonight. Fast Kids have already finished an exciting race, I was told. Then we got, well, that's pretty bad when I'm starting on. We got Citrus County's got a winter spectacular coming up down here in Florida. It's got modified Twin 50s, Limited Sportsman 50, Thunder Stock 50, Outlaw Modifieds. And that's Saturday. Well, that was this Saturday. That's tonight. Well, I can call Citrus County, find out what's going on up there. Heck, that would be the way to go. Maybe I'll do that while we take another break here in a second. I'll see if I can't get somebody from Citrus County to talk to me. And we'll find out more information about the Snowball Derby if it kills me. All right, well, nobody's going to call in, it doesn't sound like, so you're all too scared or too lazy or don't want to spend the buck and a half. 10 cents a minute can't be too bad. But we'll look forward to talking to you on the other side, so don't go away. We'll be back right after these messages with Holly doing 50-50 numbers live from East Bay.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, as we get ready to get into our tonight's feature programs coming up, four big features yet to come. We'll be doing that in just a few minutes. Pull out your lucky programs. If you bought a program tonight, we're looking for these numbers. We got some prizes to give away. We get a coupon book, 50% off savings book, good for 2006 on into 2007. That's to program number 200804. 200804. Also got a hat from Nashville Express and free admission to the Classic Car Museum down in Sarasota for 200797. 200797. Also, another hat, Hoosier hat from Nashville Express, and another free admission down to the Classic Car Museum, 200-827, 200-827. If you have any of those numbers, come on up and see Miss Angie at the base of the tower, and she will give you your prize. Once again, we're looking for 200-804, 200-797, and 200-827. As you see, our four-cylinder Outlaw 4 feature now pulling out onto the back straightaway. We'll be back with a lineup with him in just a minute. Okay, what you want?
Hey, not much, baby. I was just trying to see how the qualifying went with the crate late models. Who
Schrader was the best show of the night. He came from the last starting position in his heat, came up to second using the outside line, and he really put on a show, and the fans really enjoyed it. All the races in that number two heat got a standing ovation from the crowd here tonight. And with the builder off, Schrader will be starting outside of the second row for tonight's 25-lap main event.
Wow. That's awesome, man. That's the kind of stuff we'd like to hear. Thanks so much. Anything else good happened? How many crate late models showed up?
Late models, we've got about 16 of them, I believe, here tonight, but it's a good quality field all the way from the front to the back. Devin Dixon took the heat race to win number one. And Jackie Nosbitt in the 12 car took heat race number two, once again ahead of Schrader. The last time we were out with the late models 2 weeks ago, our late model feature event winner was the 02 of Keith Nosbitt. Keith put the great motor in his car, and he came home second in his heat behind Devin Dixon.
Awesome, man. That's what I like to hear. Glad to see there's at least 16 of them. I know it'll keep growing over the next few weeks as they get closer to that two-day show. So thanks for letting me interrupt you a minute, and we will let you get back to some racing, okay?
All right. We'll be talking to you later on this evening with the rest of the results from here, and hopefully include all the rest of the classes we got running tonight as well. But we got to go racing.
All right, man. Take care. With Holly, ladies and gentlemen, live from East Bay Raceway Park, as he not only called out the 50-50 numbers, or excuse me, the lucky program numbers for you, but you can win some cool prizes. I'd like to go to the Car Museum in Sarasota. I haven't been there in about 5 years, I bet. So hopefully I'll get my opportunity to get back by there sometime soon, too. Well, it sounds like they're still racing, and they have a lot of racing to do. There's two 15-lap snowflake qualifiers. There's two 20-lap snowball qualifiers tonight at Five Flags. So apparently they're still in the middle of all that. And Steve could not give me much of an update as I tried to get through to him there. But we will bring it to you as soon as we have it. And we'll go back to East Bay Raceway Park, and we'll track down some information from Port Charlotte and give you some Charlotte County news as soon as we get it. I'm going to go see my TV is about 35 feet from me from the studio through a window, and I can see that Florida just fumbled and Arkansas ran it in for a touchdown. So that could be changing the complexion of that real quick, as number one, Arkansas, is going up against number four, University of Florida, the Gators. All right, take care. Thanks for chatting with me on the message board. And no matter what part of the country or the world you're from, take shorttrackamerica1.com back home with you, because we'd love to talk to you, even if it is in the middle of your night. All right, let's go back live here on the air as Jack Smith checking in from Charlotte County. Jack, what's happened down there? Jack?
Hello?
Yes, I'm waiting on you to talk to me.
Oh, okay, hang on there just a second. Well, I'll tell you, a lot of stuff happened in this race. I'm going to tell you, it was exciting from all 100 laps. So.
Now, we're talking about the Fast Extravaganza Fast Truck Pro.
And Anthony Campy made it a sweep. He was fast. He was fast time in both events in qualifying, and he has won both events. And he's getting ready. We're getting ready to send you live here with Jason Beckner, the Charlotte County Speedway announcer, as he interviews him. And I'm going to turn that over to you.
Number 81, everybody put your hands together. Anthony Campy pulling off the double win tonight in the Fast Pits Pros and in the Fast Pro race tonight. Anthony over there getting congratulations from the officials, his sponsors and friends, getting a drink of Gatorade. Come on over here, Anthony. This is getting to be a regular thing right here, buddy. Pulling the double duty. You sat there, you were patient, and it came to you.
Well, I don't even know what to say. I just didn't even think I was going to be able to come from 10th to 1st that quick, but truck was hooked up. Dad and Grandpa and everybody set it up pretty good, and that's about it.
There you go. Once again, pulling it off again for the win tonight. Anthony Campy, your winner in the Fast Truck Pros and the Fast Kids and the champion in the Fast Kids Series. He's taking home a nice hunk of iron tonight with the trophies, don't you think?
Yeah, it's pretty great, but it wouldn't be possible without, let me name these all again, custom cars, VIP pools, Campy Co., MF Chassis, Waterside Realty, Bodie's Automotive, and WF and McDonald Plumbing.
All right, there you go. Everybody, once again, put your hands together.
Pretty amazing, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that he won both races.
That was a heck of a race, I'm going to tell you, and I'll have to, I'm going to take care of some of this business when I get down here, and I'll get back to you with a recap of this race, which is, and I'll get back to you on all that. How about that?
All right, man, thanks.
All right.
All right, so we just finished talking to Jack Smith down at Charlotte County Speedway, and it looks like I believe we had a call coming in, unless I lost it when I swapped over there. Real Racing USA, Short Track America, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lori.
Hey, Lori, how we doing?
I'm good. I just talked to Sean, and he's getting ready to suit up. There are 20 laps or less in the last chance race for the Snowball Derby.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure we'll hear from Steve here in a few minutes, though. But how's everything else going for everybody down there? Has he seen anything interesting happen today that made him change his mind about the setup on the car or anything else?
No. What happened earlier in practice is the housing on the clutch broke. So that's pretty much all the adjustments they made. They were pretty good in practice. So
wow.
They're keeping the car the same.
Well, I'm glad he didn't tear it up.
No, he didn't.
All right, and refresh everyone's memory. We're talking about the 52, right?
Yeah, Sean Murphy from Fort Lauderdale.
Sean Murphy from Fort Lauderdale.
He's with SS Racing.
SS Racing, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool, and I'm glad they're finally into those Snowball qualifiers, because then we can get some more information out of Steve here pretty quick.
Exactly.
We've been talking to anybody and everybody. I thank you for calling me back again and letting me know what you knew.
Anytime.
Because it's always nice to have the family or members, crew members' families give us a shout because they're on the cell phone with them and they know exactly what's going on.
Yep.
So that's kind of neat. Well, we appreciate that. We just had a report from Charlotte County Speedway that Anthony Campy, the young man that was on the radio with us Tuesday night, talking about his racing and where he was going, heading into late models next year and so forth, or 2 years down the road. He won not only the Fast Kids program, but he swapped over, and this was his first night to race in the Fast Truck Pro program, and he wound up winning both of those events tonight. So that's pretty cool. All right, well, thanks a lot, hon.
All right, thanks.
All right, we appreciate all the calls we get here. If you want to take time to give us a shout, we'll be more than happy to break into a call when we're talking to one, I guess, and talk to you, as Lori gave us a call back telling us about the racing up at the Snowball Derby and what's going on. So don't be afraid to give us a shout. I think I was just back on the message board a minute ago and put up the phone number again, just in case you're having trouble keeping up with me saying it to you. But do give us a shout. We'd love to talk to you about whatever's going on and what you may know or not know, and anything else that you'd like to give information on the Snowball Derby. We can all become plenty of reporters out there. Trying to see here, Roxy. The Rev Limit says, Roxy girl, I got to meet Sean a couple of times. I liked him a lot, and the last I talked to him, he was doing some work with Ray Evernham's trucks. I know he's done some ARCA, too. What's he got going these days? Good luck on him tonight. Well, if I'd known that question, I would have just asked her. We would have found out. Thanks for the compliment, Rick. Enjoyed doing that. Do you run dirt tracks at dirt? Do you run the dirt at Putnam, or do I know you? Yeah, I run Putnam. Rick, I think I know who Rick is, but I'm not positive. I moved up from Central Florida. We used to run Okeechobee, Clewiston, and I lived in West Palm Beach. Don't know if you've seen me. Don't know you have just seen you on a post here before and enjoyed your conversation with Bill tonight on the radio. I'm like you, just sitting here waiting for more information. He'll be sitting here tomorrow. And we will be here tomorrow again, folks. We'll be here for the Snowball Derby to keep bringing you what information we can get. We wish we were at the Derby, because then we would be live and I'd be doing it right from the Derby, and it would sound a little bit, I don't know, probably sound worse. Who knows? Let's see here. Roxy Girl says, just wanted to give a shout-out to Mike Marcellino, number 8, who won track champion at the Hornet Division at Columbia Motorsports Park. Way to go, Dad. All right, that must be Daddy. It's okay to call. There's the phone number on that part of the string, and there are 20 or less by the time of this post laps left in the last chance race for the Snowball Derby. So here we go, close to the green flag and the snowflake. There we go. Let's see. Racing photo gives me Ryan Foster, David Rogers, and David Hole make it to the Snowball as seen on Speed 51. Way to go, David Rogers. There you go. David Rogers hung on to win that first qualifier, I take it. Ryan Foster and David Hole round out the top three that make it in on time. Let's see, we may be going to East Bay Raceway Park next. Hello? Hello?
You there? You're kind of in and out.
Yeah, Whit Holly, East Bay Raceway Park. How's it going, man?
We're done.
You're done? Well, tell me about it.
Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the other races, the ones that you ran, the Outlaw Fours, the Open Wheel Modifieds, and so forth, and then we'll get to the rest of them, or get to the big Crate Late model at the end.
Outlaw Fours started out the feature events of the evening. They were the first one out. Jim Corson been strong all year, and notched another victory in his number 73. Cecil Martin held on for a second place finish. The Millers, who have been coming on in several different classes, this time Steve Miller in the 8S was third. Zach Amundsen finished fourth, and Travis Varnador, whose daddy, by the way, is celebrating a birthday today, is 43 years old, was fifth.
I'm sure Al's going to appreciate that. Okay.
That's Travis and Dean's boy.
Oh, that's right, Dean. I forgot Dean. Oh, well, then, okay. Well, that's cool. I didn't realize Dean was running up on the birthday already. I thought his was... had already gone by, actually. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Well, his wife gave me the notes, so I'm going to have to take her word for it.
Oh, I'm sure she's right.
Open Wheel Modifieds. The 48 of Raymond Rogers took the checkered flag, but a protest has been filed. Right now there are still two cars, the 01 of Jamie Burrows and the 48 of Raymond Rogers, in tech area at various stages of disassembly, so I do not have a victor in that one just yet. We do know that as the pending everybody coming home clean, it was Raymond Rogers as the winner, Burroughs in second. Leslie Rudman's 00 was third. Jeff Matthews was fourth in the 33. And a relative newcomer here at East Bay Race Park, Josh Richardson in the number 6 was your fifth place finisher.
Now, a lot of
that is all subject to tech, which is still going on as we speak.
I understand that a lot of the folks that are listening tonight from outside the state of Florida will recognize the name of Mr. Rudiman, Buzzy Rudiman, being the father of David Rudiman, just getting those rides with the folks at Walter Racing and so forth. So that's some awesome news to know that Buzzy's still putting around the track.
I don't have this absolutely confirmed, but I've heard it from several different people, not from Buzzy's own mouth, that we may be losing him at 65 years old. He may have just about decided to hang up the helmet and go chase the kid around on the NASCAR circuit. So if that isn't true, in case the fact, we are sure going to miss him out here because he has been a fan favorite for years and years, as you know.
Oh, yeah, that would be something big to talk about, and we'll have to track him down now and kind of hammer in to see if he wants to go into retirement, so to speak, from racing and do the motorhome chasing the NASCAR Nextel Cup and Busch Series while David's doing double duty. So that would be interesting.
At 65, the man has not lost a step, though. He can still show the kids the way around East Bay Raceway Park because he knows this place just as well as anybody you can possibly think of.
Oh, let me tell you, in that little three-car garage that he's got that he's been working out of for years there in the back of his house, he can still put some machines out of there that win a lot of races. So that's pretty cool. All right,
of course, real proud of David and where he's gone and what he's up to.
Oh, yeah.
In 2007 as well.
Represents Florida and the East Bay well, because he did a lot of racing at East Bay as he grew up. What else was going on, man?
Well, we just wound up our final feature event about 15, 20 minutes ago, and that was for the four-cylinder Bombers. And the 138 of Frank Miller, again, he's been in victory lane multiple times this year. He took the win ahead of the 69 of one of a relative newcomer of B.J. Harp. Casey Laramie, another many-time feature winner, was third. The 12 car, let me check my notes here, Calvin Moore was fourth, and Tim Albright was your fifth-place finisher in the four-cylinder Bombers. And that leaves us with nothing but the Crate Late models to discuss.
And I tell you what, now, there's some a lot of guys at East Bay Raceway Park that run on a regular basis in the late model class have grown to be known around the state of Florida and throughout the Southeast. So some of these names are going to really stand up and take notice with folks. But, of course, I've got to ask the question, because he's always a fan favorite when he is able to come down and spend some time at the track. Kenny Schrader from NASCAR getting a chance to come down and do some Crate Late Model racing, as he just loves that dirt stuff. How did he do tonight? And I know that he had a great run in his heat race, you told us earlier.
Correct, he did in the heat race. In fact, had the fans on their feet in the heat race, and the late model feature was a darn good one as well. Kenny started fourth due to the inversion. He finished second in his heat. Devin Dixon won the first heat. He pulled the pill, pulled number two. So so that put Jackie Nosbusch on the pole. Devin Dixon started outside of him. Keith Nosbusch in the 02, that's another long-time name from here at East Bay, started third with Ken Schrader to his right in the fourth position. And it took a whole lot of giving and taking and moving forward and moving and back, but Kenny wound up right where he started in the fourth spot. But he was showing everybody that he liked that 99 car of his right up on the top as he was just about rushing off the wall on every lap using the cushion all the way up to the top side and was very, very smooth, just pretty much got outrun. But you never know with Kenny, again, talking about a veteran like he is, how much he was showing. Tonight was just a tune-up getting him set for ready for the big money coming up here in a couple of weeks. So you don't know if he was showing them everything he had.
Well, that's nothing new, but round out the field for us. Give us, like, maybe even the top 10 if you can stand it or you got it.
All I've got it is the top 5 here for you right now. We'd have to go back to Karen to get 10, but let me give you the top 5. Keith Nosbusch started in third spot, and again, going forward, going backwards, and a little bit all over. Keith came up with the win. That's the second in a row for him. He went on our regular late model program a couple of weeks ago. Seventh starter, Josh Peacock, who has really been coming on strong here lately in the late model division, and how they put in a crate motor in that car. He comes home in second position. Roger Krause, who usually runs with the crates whenever they show up here with his regular late model ride, and another guy that likes the high side of the racetrack. He brought the 32 home in third, Schrader Corson in fourth, and one of the guys here that does yeoman duty in just about all the classes, all the upper classes anyhow, in the 33 car of Jeff Matthews round out the top 5.
Well, that sounds like a great race and stuff. 2 weeks from now when they get to that Friday and Saturday night deal, what kind of money and what kind of laps are we looking at for these crate late models? Maybe some folks like to make a trip down in a couple of weeks.
I am not sure on that. I have not seen the press release yet, Bill. I'll get back with you. I'll find out what I can on that, and I will either email you or get back with you by a telephone call and let you know, because I've got an idea of what they're going to be, but I don't want to speak until I know it for sure.
Okay. Well, we'll appreciate you taking time to give us a shout. Let us know that East Bay Raceway Park back in action through December, going all the way through the 16th with some great late model racing and some support classes along the way. Opal Modifieds, the Outlaw 4s, which are the mini stocks, and the four-cylinder bombers back on tap again next week, as well as the street stocks. So we'll look forward to all of those hopefully being on the bill and people getting watch some great racing.
Alrighty, until that time, have a good week.
All right, Whit Holly, ladies and gentlemen, out of East Bay Raceway Park. Thanks a lot, Whit.
And across the bay.
All right, be careful as he heads back to Pinellas County to head home from East Bay Raceway Park. Short Track America's live after the races version of Inside Florida Racing. Your Karnak and Short Track America window to the world of racing. All right, I've got a bunch of requests going on here. I've got requests for special songs, and trust me, my library ain't that big. ABBA, I'll find one maybe. Who knows? I got a question here from North Carolina talking about how to cool field of cars. Kevin Finney letting us know he's listening from Concord, North Carolina. We appreciate you dropping by, Kevin, and listening in. We'll try to find out all the information we can as we get it. Sorry it's taken so long, but, of course, the races take 4 or 5 hours, so you're lucky you got me and some music to deal with. Out of Fort Lauderdale, though, I got a lady, I guess it's RoxyGirl927, says, my boyfriend is in the race, so I am very anxious to hear any updates. Keep them coming. Well, I'd be more than happy to ask Steve to check on your particular racer in case he doesn't make the top 5, top 10, that kind of thing. And Steve doesn't happen to cover your guy, we'd be more than happy to ask him a direct question about who that guy is. So you just need to give me that information as soon as you can, and we will do everything we can to get it across to him and find out who that is. So, Roxy, give me a call. How about that? Roxy, if you don't mind the toll, 941-776-2910. And we will find out who that is and check it out for you. Pamela says, I'm only getting music. What am I doing wrong still? Pamela, you're fine. I told you that above if you look way back up there when you asked the first time. I told you you're fine. It just takes an awful long time to run these races. They've only done the 2 snowflake qualifiers, and they were partly into the 75-lap modified race. when Steve called us last about 8 to 10, 12 minutes ago. So it's taken a while to get them done, and we realize that. It's only 9:30, and it's actually only 8:30 at the track, remember. It's only 8:30 there. So it will be a while. And we've got East Bay Raceway Park running the crate late models, getting cranked up for their big end-of-year run here. They've got 4 weeks of them straight, or 3 weeks of them straight, plus a special two-day deal. So there's four actual races, is what I'm thinking. But they've got the open-wheel modifieds, Outlaw 4s, which are the mini stocks, and the four-cylinder bombers, which are the... Good God, for $450, you can have a four-cylinder bomber and go racing in the dirt, which is a blast, I'm sure. And they're having a lot of fun with that. So anyway, East Bay Raceway Park, well-known for all of its Winter Nationals programs and so forth, it is running crate late models. The big story there, of course, being Kenny Schrader in the house and taking names, it sounds like, whenever we talked to Steve last. So, okay, they called, they hung up. Whoever it was, I heard it ring, and you heard it ring in the background, and I went to see, and it didn't have anybody there, so it may have been Steve trying to get back to me, because I see his numbers up first, and that was at 9 o'clock, though. That was his numbers, so. Come on, Pam. All right, let's try it again. Short Track America, you're live on the air.
Hi, this is Lori calling.
Hey, Lori.
Hi.
I'm glad you got the message. It takes about 22 seconds for it to actually get to you because we got a little delay going, but glad you called. Now, which driver is it you're dealing with, and is your boyfriend a member of the crew or the actual driver?
He's the driver. His name is Sean Murphy.
Oh, Sean Murphy. Okay. Well, we'll make sure we ask Steve about Sean so we get you some information, okay?
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, that's no problem at all. Why didn't you go to the race?
I'm homesick with the flu.
Oh, okay, so you don't want to get the whole team sick.
Yeah.
How long a drive is it? Is he from down where you're at?
Yeah, he's from down here in Fort Lauderdale. It's probably about a 10-hour drive.
Yeah, no doubt. It was going to be about 8 hours for me, and I live near the Ellington Outlet Malls up here.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you called. Thanks so much for it, and I'm glad you're listening in. We'll do everything we can to get you the information. Sorry for all the music, but I'm just trying to kill the time while I'm waiting on him to give me back the information.
It's okay. So. I enjoy the music.
Okay, somebody's trying to call you now.
Oh, okay.
I hear it beeping in your ear.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Lori. Right. From Fort Lauderdale, giving us a shout, and it's just that easy. Give us a call. I'll sit here and talk to you all night long. How about that? Here we go. We got somebody else coming in. Hey, you're live on the air, Short Track America.
Hey, this is Kevin Finney.
Hey, Kevin, what you doing, buddy?
I just called in. I was looking at the CarNAC website still. I'm just going to call in and talk about the quality of cars there.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. How's it going in North Carolina? What kind of temperature you got up there tonight? Pretty cool?
It's cool. It's probably in the 50s right now. Been real clear and sunny.
Wow.
But, I tell you what, it sure is a good field of cars down there. You got good guys that may not even make that race.
Oh, that was one of the things Steve and I were talking about earlier off the air, well, before he ever called me the first time, was that it was just amazing these qualifying races that are still just now getting ready to get started, I would imagine, because he hasn't called me back yet from the 75-lap open wheel modified race being finished. But I would imagine these are going to be just as good feature event races for 20 laps that you would see on any Saturday night, and it's going to have an awesome field of cars and some really big names.
Yeah, it's amazing when you look at the qualifying for the Snowball and you look at Jeff Schofield qualifying 53rd out of 66 cars that took time.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was half a second off. Jeff Schofield's been probably one of the toughest guys this year consistently to run up front and to win races. And the fact that he's, you know, in a position that he probably, unless something goes really good for him, he won't make that race up there. It says a lot about the field of cars and the quality of super late model racing.
Actually, I got really bad news for you then, because Jeff Schofield loaded his car on the trailer and isn't going to attempt to make the race in the qualifiers.
I don't blame him.
He would be starting about 14th, I think, in his qualifier, and he'd only have 20 laps to make it into the top three, and he knows that he's got guys like Gary St. Amant and some other gentlemen in front of him. It's not going to be easy. Travis Kittleson, Roger Ruse, Scott Hance, Grant Infinger had the fastest car on the first day of practice, but he still qualified 40-something. I mean, it's just amazing.
when you look at, you know, even back there, even farther back, charging him in 156th and at the Speed Fest a couple years ago, he was the guy that won the race. My brother Brian ran right there with him for quite a while. We got tore up coming back through the field, but someone like Charlie Menard, who's in very, very good equipment, back there that far back, Joey Clanton, who is a short track ace. I mean, you just got guys that, if you don't make the top 30 and you don't feel like you have a good shot, I don't blame someone for loading up and going home because you're just going to tear up your car, really.
Yeah, it's funny that the guys that qualified 38th, 39th, and 41st, Steve Wallace, Scott Carlson, and Joey Sinder, they're going to get in. They got in already on provisionals. Scott Carlson and Joey Sinder were part of the Blizzard program that was going on down there from there was five races, and they were fourth and sixth in points. The rest of the guys got in above them on time. And then Steve Wallace being the past champion that didn't make the race because Maynard III made it on his time. So.
Right. You know, it's just interesting. You look at the whole field of cars, the guys that run the Super Late models and go to races like this, and we had considered going to this race, but whenever we saw the entry list getting up to 70 and knowing that it was going to be competitive like this, not that you don't want to compete with it, but you go and spend a lot of money and then have the opportunity to go home because you didn't get a good qualifying lap in or something went wrong, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But my point is, if you look at the quality of cars and the guys that are in this race, and you compare it to what you have at the NASCAR Cup level or the Busch level or even the trucks, the opportunities that some of these guys don't get during their career, that they're good race car drivers and they have a lot of talent, but the opportunity never comes about either because they don't have the right money or they don't play the politic games.
Well, this is true. That's that lost generation of drivers we've talked about before on our shows that seem to be kind of gotten hopped right over, so to speak. They were trying to get those 30-year-olds that had a little bit of seat time and some good seasoning on them, and then they hopped right to those 18-year-olds suddenly that they want to put in the cars or try to get long-term contracts with and stuff. And so then they turn around and they have this whole group that's about 10 years worth of guys that have been working hard to be in racing and to get themselves in position to have an opportunity to maybe get looked at, and they don't even get that opportunity because they've gotten jumped right over.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up another point. You look at someone like Lane Anderson, who would probably be in the top 30 of the qualifying and be in the race and have an opportunity to even win the race as he did a couple years ago. Someone like Wayne, who is good everywhere, looks at the opportunity to just work on someone's car and get paid to do that type of thing, and make a living doing that versus trying to win the race to make his living, says something about the quality of cars, because Wayne made a choice there to do that, in my opinion, it's a smart choice.
Yeah, he's helping Ryan Seg, and Seg qualified 14th in the early qualifying, so he's into the race, and I'm sure Wayne's earning his pittance as he works with them all weekend, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, someone like Ryan Seg will have an opportunity to win the race just because he has Wayne making decisions for him as far as when to pit, when to use his tires, and that type of thing. So, I mean, you know, it's interesting, you listen to the whole story behind each of these guys and their chance of winning a race, and it's pretty interesting.
Hey, let me tell you, there are some of the, I mean, I only know two of the guys that are definitely in the race already, and that would be, of course, Jeff Choquette, and then way down at the bottom, Jay Middleton. But I've heard of some of these other guys, like Cale Gayle, and let's see, I know that Tim Martin stands out as somebody I've talked about before. Jason Hogan, Clay Rogers, Bobby Gill, of course, has been on the radio show years ago on my Short Track USA show. And he still runs Central Florida, and his family still runs here in the Manatee County area at DeSoto Speedway. Eddie Mercer, Jason Young, Ryan Crane, Jeff Fultz, Buckshot Jones. There's a lot of great guys kind of hanging around waiting for this end-of-year run to come down and have some fun in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, and you even missed a couple that are what I call legends, like Butch Miller and even someone like David Hole, who is good almost everywhere he goes. You go down to the bottom, a young kid, Bubba Pollard, who's usually fast everywhere in the Southeast.
Yep.
And then you look at Jeremy Pate, who up here at Concord in 04, when we traveled up and ran some of the Big Ten races, was so unbelievably fast that he qualified 64th. and, you know, something obviously either was not right with the car or whatever, but, you know, you got Gary St. Amant. I mean, just the guys that are back there, I mean, if you look at the whole field, anyone in the top 65 cars could win the race if they were in the race.
Yeah,
so that's pretty neat.
There's no doubt about it. Let me ask you something. Have you gotten an influx of really young drivers up into your area, North Carolina, in all the local tracks there? I don't know if you make it down to places like Greenville, Pickens, and Crossville, Tennessee, and Bristol, and so forth, that get some races in. But, I mean, are you seeing a lot more younger drivers? Because we've got kids 14, you know, between 12 and 16 winning races every week down here in Florida, it seems.
Yeah, I've been to Hickory a couple times this year, and I went to Concord a couple times. You see at Hickory where you end up with a couple of the former NASCAR drivers such as Robert Presley and the guys like that, the Setzer family. There's some kin coming through that are driving. Those are the young kids that are driving up here. It's not as much as where you get a 14-year-old that's trying to boost his career by running up here. The racing up here is very different than down in Florida. And what I mean by that is there doesn't seem to be the influx of money at the short track level. When you go to the short tracks down in Florida and you see haulers that we're coming to the racetrack with and you see the two cars and you know, there might be a spare engine in the cabinet and the pit tools and just the money that's being spent. Up here, you still have open trailers. You still have 20, 24-foot long tag, you know, 6, 8-foot tall trailers. But the guys are really, whatever money they make during the week, they're putting them in the race car. You still have that here.
Yeah, I know. I have heard the same thing, and that's what I saw. I went up and took a tour of Crossville Speedway because Al Varnador, one of our local owners down here, kind of got in on that deal up there. And so it's an awesome, awesome track the way it's laid out and set up. But a lot of them are that way up in the north where you have the hills and dales. They kind of use those as some of their grandstands, lay into the hills a little bit, that kind of stuff. They often have plateaus of parking where you can back your vehicle up and watch the races from, you know, a distance. But it just seems that it's a lot lower keyed cash-wise in the north than it is down in the south. And I guess it's a lot of it, you know, centers around the fact that just about everything in Florida is expensive. No matter if you live in Tampa Bay, Miami, Jacksonville, or wherever, property is expensive.
That's very true.
And so these jobs that are down here are paying pretty good because of what's going on. So I guess they do have, you know, there's a little bit more, you know, I guess it's their entertainment money or whatever they want to use. But a lot of people use it as just an opportunity to dole out, you know, if I have to put out 40 grand and get my kid into a truck and get him some experience, then if this is what he wants to do, that's what I want him to do.
That's true. You know, it is what it is, and racing's become what it's become because of the money that's been spent. You know, the young kids coming through, that's a good thing for the sport as long as the competition stays there. That's one thing that if you look at the Snowball Derby stuff, you still have guys that are the old-timers, the legends, that still have it, that can still perform. What I'm concerned with in the future of racing is whenever you have the young guys basically flocking the market of the NASCAR market, and it's lost some of that competition because you don't have the best driver in the car. You have the driver that may be relative of someone that's in the Fortune 500 companies, you know, someone that comes with a lot of money behind them. You don't have the best driver in the car.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you had a young kid that grew up in any state, whether it be Arkansas or whatever, and he could come with, you know, he's a relative of the owner of Discount Auto Parts or something, and he wants to bring them to the table with him, and that, you know, grandpa wants to help him out, well, you know, that's going to weigh big and heavy on the guys that own those cars and are trying to put people in them and make the cash flow work for them.
That's so, right.
Whether it's at the Hooters level or, you know, at NASCAR level.
You can't knock the fact that money makes money and it takes money to do some of the things we do. But the fact of the matter is when you look at some of the short track racing that we participate in and that you see, such as the Snowball Derby, you have some much more advanced talent than what you have at some of these other levels that people think that it's all about talent, and it does take talent, but believe it or not, some of the best short track racers don't make the best NASCAR racers. Some of the best NASCAR racers couldn't drive on a short track. So,
well, this is true. We're talking to Kevin Finney out of Concord, North Carolina. Kevin, what's your involvement in racing in general?
I am now working for, or actually running a company that is called Revolution, or Acceleration, and we're developing a Revolution Inertia Engine Dynamometer. Our initial market is the NASCAR market, where we are basically building this engine dynamometer that measures the engine's acceleration rate. That's the whole idea behind it. I'm the engineer behind it.
Wow.
Got a couple NASCAR teams that are of our highest interest and priority right now to make them happy.
I'm sure. Now, is this going to be something, though, that after you've gotten it, you know, all the nuts and bolts and things together and figured out how to do it right, is it going to be something that would be, you know, affordable for the local really diehard late model racer that wants to buy one or something, or is it going to take a corporate situation to get one?
It's, you know, talking about money again, it's going to take, it's basically not going to work for the lower local racing market. The cost of building the machine is too high for that type of market. But the other thing we could do is we do some in-house testing where we charge a daily rate to test some engines. In fact, I've run all of my brother's engines in the last year and a half on this engine dynamometer.
And your brother would be?
Brian Finney.
That's what I figured. I was waiting to make sure. Well, that's pretty cool. How's he doing?
He's doing good. Doing real good. He's elected not to go to a snowball. He had a lot of work there at their shop that they do fabrication and sell parts, and they've been very busy on customers' cars and had some engine problems at the last race at New Smyrna for the Governor's Cup, and really didn't have the best stuff to go to the snowball. And with the few of the cars that were going, if you aren't taking your best stuff, you better not go. So that was the decision that was made.
Well, man, it's awesome to talk to you. I appreciate your call. We love all of our listeners to give us a shout because that's what we're here for. We've always prayed that one day we'd have enough listeners that we could do just this, crank up the old Viola, turn over the switch, and we'll just take phone calls and talk about racing and bench race all night long.
Well, I like music, but I got tired of listening to music, so I figured I better call in. No one else was.
I appreciate it, man. I know. Anyway, hopefully Steve Meyer up there at the Five Flag Speedway will get back with us here shortly with some more updates on what's happening. I would imagine the 75-lap open-wheel modified race is just about coming to a close if they didn't have any more red flags, and we'll be getting closer to getting into those snowball derby qualifiers. And we'll cover
You know, I'm curious to see if Travis Kittleson makes it in, David Rogers, you know, the other Florida guys, see if they make it in. I'm keeping my eye on speed51.com. They do a pretty good job of keeping us up to date also.
Oh, I'm sure they've got, there's people there from all over the country. There were people putting stuff on Karnak before I could get it from Steve yesterday, so I know they're out there.
Yeah, Brad does a pretty good job on speed51.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate it. Take care, and we'll look forward to talking to you again someday, or at least having you listen in, man. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Kevin Finney, ladies and gentlemen, he's talking to us all the way from Concord, North Carolina, where it's just a little nippy, I'm sure. Well, if you want to give me a call, I'll be more than happy to talk to you. And while we're kicking around here and kind of waiting out the game, we will go back and revisit some of our sponsors and take care of them and take care of you. So don't go far. We got a special race coming up here in Florida. It's at Orlando Speed World, December 8th and 9th. It's the Hopkins Family 200. It's a truck race for our fast car pro trucks and our fast motorsports program trucks and any other trucks that want to join in that are kind of the American chassis-based vehicles with crate motors or anything else. Just give them a call. They'll give you the information about the rules. Here, listen up.
This family right now needs, first of all, a lot of prayers and support. And it's a unique disease. It's a form of leukemia. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race. And that's what I want. I want it to be run professional, fair, but in the end, everybody has a good time and the family benefits. And it's basically it. We're going to have mini cup races, legend cars, and we're going to have the big truck race. But the neat thing on Friday night is we're going to have first round qualifying for the trucks. Then we're going to run the mini cups, junior mini cups, the mini cup, you know, adult gap. And then we're going to have barbecue and music and a celebrity auction. It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be December 8th and 9th. And it's a unique deal. Nobody's ever done one. It's a 200-lap truck race.
right, let's go back live here on the air as Jack Smith checking in from Charlotte County. Jack, what's happened down there?
A lot of stuff happened in this race. I'm going to tell you, it was exciting from all 100 laps.
Now, we're talking about the Fast Extravaganza Fast Truck Pro.
And Anthony Campy made it a sweep. He was fast. He was fast time in both events in qualifying, and he has won both events. And he's getting ready. We're getting ready to send you live here with Jason Beckner, the Charlotte County Speedway announcer, as he interviews him. And I'm going to turn that over to you.
Number 81. Everybody, put your hands together. Anthony Campy pulling off the double win tonight in the Fast Hits Pros and in the Fast Pro race tonight. Anthony over there getting congratulations from the officials, his sponsors and friends, getting a drink of Gatorade. Come on over here, Anthony. This is getting to be a regular thing right here, buddy. Pulling the double duty. You sat there, you were patient, and it came to you.
I don't even know what to say. I just didn't even think I was going to be able to come from 10th to 1st that quick, but truck was hooked up. Dad and Grandpa and everybody set it up pretty good, and that's about it.
There you go. Once again, pulling it off again for the win tonight. Anthony Campy, your winner in the Fast Truck Pros and the Fast Hits and the champion in the Fast Hits Series. He's taking home a nice hunk of iron tonight with the trophies, don't you think?
Yeah, it's pretty great, but it wouldn't be possible without, let me name these all again, custom cars, VIP pools, Campy Co., AMS Chassis, Waterside Realty, Bodie's Automotive, and WF and McDonough Plumbing.
All right, there you go, everybody. Once again, put your hands together.
Pretty amazing, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that he won both races.
That was a race, I'm going to tell you. And I'll have to I'm gonna take care of some of this business that I get down here, and I'll get back to you with a recap of this race, which is and I'll get back to you on all that. How about that?
All right, man, thanks.
All right.
All right, so we just finished talking to Jack Smith down at Charlotte County Speedway, and it looks like I believe we had a call coming in, unless I lost it when I swapped over there. Real Racing in the USA, Short Track America, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Lori.
Hey, Lori, how we doing?
I'm good. I just talked to Sean, and he's getting ready to suit up. There are 20 laps. Or less in the last chance race for the Snowball Derby.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure we'll hear from Steve here in a few minutes, though. But how's everything else going for everybody down there? Has he seen anything interesting happen today that made him change his mind about the setup on the car or anything else?
No. What happened earlier in practice is the housing on the clutch broke. So that's pretty much all the adjustments they made. They were pretty good in practice.
Wow.
They were keeping the car the same.
Well, I'm glad he didn't tear it up.
No, he didn't.
All right, and refresh everyone's memory. We're talking about the 52, right?
Yeah, Sean Murphy from Fort Lauderdale.
Sean Murphy from Fort Lauderdale.
He's with SS Racing.
SS Racing, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool, and I'm glad they're finally into those Snowball qualifiers, because then we can get some more information out of Steve here pretty quick.
Exactly.
We've been talking to anybody and everybody. I thank you for calling me back again and letting me know what you knew.
Anytime.
Because it's always nice to have the family or members, crew members' families give us a shout because they're on the cell phone with them and they know exactly what's going on.
Yep.
So that's kind of neat. Well, we appreciate that. We just had a report from Charlotte County Speedway that Anthony Campy, the young man that was on the radio with us Tuesday night, talking about his racing and where he was going, heading in the late models next year and so forth, or 2 years down the road. He won not only the Fast Kids program, but he swapped over, and this was his first night to race in the Fast Truck Pro program, and he wound up winning both of those events tonight. So that's pretty cool. All right, well, thanks a lot, Sean.
All right, thanks.
All right, we appreciate all the calls we get here. If you want to take time to give us a shout, we'll be more than happy to break into a call when we're talking to one, I guess, and talk to you. As Lori gave us a call back telling us about the racing up at the Snowball Derby and what's going on. So don't be afraid to give us a shout. I think I was just back on the message board a minute ago and put up the phone number again, just in case you're having trouble keeping up with me saying it to you. But do give us a shout. We'd love to talk to you about whatever's going on and what you may know or not know, and anything else that you'd like to give information on the Snowball Derby. We can all become plenty of reporters out there. Trying to see here, Roxy, the rev limit says, Roxy girl, I got to meet Sean a couple of times. I liked him a lot, and the last I talked to him, he was doing some work with Ray Evernham's trucks. I know he's done some ARCA, too. What's he got going these days? Good luck on him tonight. Well, if I'd known that question, I would have just asked her. We would have found out. Thanks for the compliment, Rick. Enjoy doing that. Do you run dirt tracks at dirt? Do you run the dirt at Putnam, or do I know you? Yeah, I run Putnam. Rick, I think I know who Rick is, but I'm not positive. I moved up from Central Florida. We used to run Okeechobee, Clewiston, and I lived in West Palm Beach. Don't know if you've seen me. Don't know you have just seen you on a post here before and enjoyed your conversation with Bill tonight on the radio. I'm like you, just sitting here waiting for more information. He'll be sitting here tomorrow. And we will be here tomorrow again, folks. We'll be here for the Snowball Derby to keep bringing you what information we can get. We wish we were at the Derby, because then we would be live and I'd be doing it right from the Derby, and it would sound a little bit, I don't know, probably sound worse. Who knows? Let's see here. Roxy Girl says, just wanted to give a shout-out to Mike Marcelino, number 8, who won track champion at the Hornet Division at Columbia Motorsports Park. Way to go, Dad. All right, that must be Daddy. It's okay to call. There's the phone number on that part of the string, and there are 20 or less by the time of this post laps left in the last chance race for the Snowball Derby, so here we go, close to the green flag and the snowflake. There we go. Let's see. Racing Photo gives me Ryan Foster, David Rogers, and David Hull make it to the Snowball as seen on Speed 51. Way to go, David Rogers. There you go. David Rogers hung on to win that first qualifier, I take it. Ryan Foster and David Hull round out the top three that make it in on time. Let's see. We may be going to East Bay Raceway Park next. Hello? Hello? Yeah, Whit Holly, East Bay Raceway Park. How's it going, man?
We're done.
You're done? Well, tell me about it.
Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the other races, the ones that you ran, the Outlaw 4s, the Open Wheel Modifieds, and so forth, and then we'll get to the rest of them, or get to the big Crate Late model at the end.
Outlaw 4s were started out the feature events of the evening. They were the first one out. Jim Corson been strong all year, and notched another victory in his number 73. Cecil Martin held on for a second place finish. The Millers, who have been coming on in several different classes, this time Steve Miller in the 8S was third. Zach Amundsen finished fourth, and Travis Varnador, whose daddy, by the way, is celebrating a birthday today, is 43 years old, was fifth.
I'm sure Al's going to appreciate that. Okay.
That's Travis and Dean's boy.
Oh, that's right, Dean. I forgot Dean. Oh, well, then, okay. Well, that's cool. I didn't realize Dean was running up on the birthday already. I thought his had already gone by, actually. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Well, his wife gave me the notes, so I'm going to have to take her word for it.
Oh, I'm sure she's right.
Open Wheel Modifieds, the 48 of Raymond Rogers took the checkered flag, but a protest has been filed. Right now there are still two cars, the 01 of J.B. Burrows and the 48 of Raymond Rogers, in tech area at various stages of disassembly, so I do not have a victor in that one just yet. We do know that as the pending everybody coming home clean, it was Raymond Rogers as the winner, Burrows in second, Buzzy Rudeman's 00 was third, Jeff Matthews was fourth in the 33, and a relative newcomer here at East Bay Race Park, Josh Richardson, in the number 6 was your fifth place finisher.
Now, a lot of
that is all subject to tech, which is still going on as we speak.
I understand that a lot of the folks that are listening tonight from outside the state of Florida will recognize the name of Mr. Rudeman, Buzzy Rudeman, being the father of David Rudeman, just getting those rides with the folks at Waltrip Racing and so forth. So that's some awesome news to know that Buzzy still
This absolutely confirmed, but I've heard it from several different people, not from Buzzy's own mouth, that we may be losing him at 65 years old. He may have just about decided to hang up the helmet and go chase the kid around on the NASCAR circuit. So if that isn't true,
encased the fact we are sure going to miss him out here because he has been a fan favorite for years and years, as you know.
Oh, yeah, that would be something big to talk about, and we'll have to track him down now and kind of hammer in to see if he wants to go into retirement, so to speak, from racing and do the motorhome chasing the NASCAR Nextel Cup and Busch Series while David's doing double duty. So that would be interesting.
At 65, the man has not lost a step, though. He can still show the kids the way around East Bay Raceway Park because he knows this way. He knows this place just as well as anybody you can possibly think of.
Oh, let me tell you, in that little three-car garage that he's got that he's been working out of for years there in the back of his house, he can still put some machines out of there that win a lot of races. So that's pretty cool. All right,
we're
man,
all, of course, real proud of David and where he's gone and what he's up to.
Oh, yeah.
Since about 2007 as well.
Represents Florida and the East Bay well because he did a lot of racing at East Bay and as he grew up. What else was going on, man?
Well, we just wound up our final feature event about 15, 20 minutes ago, and that was for the four-cylinder Bombers. And the 138 of Frank Miller, again, he's been in victory lane multiple times this year. He took the win ahead of the 69 of one of a relative newcomer, B.J. Harp. Casey Laramie, another many-time feature winner, was third. The 12 car, let me check my notes here, Calvin Moore was fourth. And Tim Albright was your fifth place finisher in the four-cylinder Bombers. And that leaves us with nothing but the great late models to discuss.
And I tell you what, now there's some a lot of guys at East Bay Raceway Park that run on a regular basis in the late model class have grown to be known around the state of Florida and throughout the Southeast. So some of these names are going to really stand up and take notice with folks. But of course, I've got to ask the question, because he's always a fan favorite when he is able to come down and spend some time at the track. Kenny Schrader from NASCAR getting a chance to come down and do some crate late model racing as he just loves that dirt stuff. How did he do tonight? And I know that he had a great run in his heat race, you told us earlier.
Correct, he did in the heat race. In fact, had the fans on their feet in the heat race, and the late model feature was a darn good one as well. Kenny started fourth due to the inversion. He finished second his heat. Devin Dixon won the first heat. He pulled the pull number two. So that put Jackie Nosbusch on the pole. Devin Dixon started outside of him. Keith Nosbusch in the 02, that's another long-time name from here at East Bay, started third with Ken Schrader to his right in the fourth position. And it took a whole lot of giving and taking and moving forward and moving and back, but Kenny wound up right where he started in the fourth spot. But he was showing everybody that he liked that 99 car of his right up on the top as he was just about brushing off the wall on every lap using the cushion all the way up to the top side and was very, very smooth, just pretty much got outrun. But you never know with Kenny, again, talking about a veteran like he is, how much he was showing. Tonight was just a tune-up getting him set for ready for the big money coming up here in a couple of weeks. So you don't know if he was showing him everything he had.
Well, that's nothing new, but round out the field for us. Give us, like, maybe even the top 10 if you can stand it or you got it.
All I've got it is the top 5 here for you right now. We'd have to go back to Kerry to get 10, but let me give you the top 5. Keith Nosbusch started in third spot, and again, going forward, going backwards, and a little bit all over. Keith came up with the win. That's the second in a row for him. He went on our regular late model program a couple of weeks ago. Seventh starter, Josh Peacock, who has really been coming on strong here lately in the late model division, and now they're putting a great motor in that car. He comes home in second position. Roger Krause, who usually runs with the crates whenever they show up here with his regular late model ride, and another guy that likes the high side of the racetrack, he brought the 32 home in third, Schrader, course in fourth, and one of the guys here that does yeoman duty in just about all the classes, all the upper classes anyhow, in the 33 car, of Jeff Matthews round out the top 5.
Well, that sounds like a great race and stuff. 2 weeks from now, when they get to that Friday and Saturday night deal, what kind of money and what kind of laps are we looking at for these crate late models? Maybe some folks like to make a trip down in a couple of weeks.
I am not sure on that. I have not seen the press release yet, Bill. I'll get back with you. I'll find out what I can on that, and I will either email you or get back with you by a telephone call and let you know, because I've got an idea of what they're going to be, but I don't want to speak until I know it for sure.
Okay. Well, we'll appreciate you taking time to give us a shout. Let us know the East Bay Raceway Park back in action through December, going all the way through the 16th with some great late model racing and some support classes along the way. Opal Modifieds, the Outlaw 4s, which are the mini stocks, and the four-cylinder bombers back on tap again next week, as well as the street stocks. So we'll look forward to all of those hopefully being on the bill and people getting to watch some great racing.
All righty, until that time, have a good week.
All right, Whit Holly, ladies and gentlemen, out of East Bay Raceway Park. Thanks a lot, Whit.
And across the bay.
All right, be careful as he heads back to Pinellas County to head home from East Bay Raceway Park. It's going great. We finally got an end to it, Speed 51 being a little quicker on the draw than we can be, but I bet you can give us a whole lot more insight into what was actually happening on the track.
Well, actually, there were a few surprises. Gary St. Amant and Butch Miller did not run the last chance races. I don't know why. Butch Miller would have been on the pole on the second one, did not report to the grid, and Gary St. Amant either. I guess they decided I don't know. I don't really know why. I guess they decided they were hanging it up.
Maybe it was a protest over the rules of the way they do provisionals.
Oh, okay. So you know more than I do.
No, I have no clue.
I'm up here in the stand, so I don't know what's going on down there.
I'm just offering up an idea that just came off the top of my head, man, that I don't know what they would have a problem with or if there was some other issue that came up and they thought it might be not in their best interest to continue running in the race altogether. Because if you get in by qualifying through a last chance qualifiers race,
right,
you're going to start 36, 37, 38, 39, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
So, I mean, maybe that was their issue, that even if we bust our butts and win this little 20-lap race, tomorrow's race is going to be, you know, a nightmare for us to get through traffic and stuff. Now,
two of the last three snowballs have been won from last place, basically, because Charlie Bradbury started last and won. Eddie Mercer was spun out last year after about the 10th lap and started last and won. So, actually, like I said, you evidently know more about that than I do if that is the case, because I'm up here in the grandstands, and I don't know, I did not know why they did not report. So is that the case?
No. I have no idea. I said that just came off the top of my head.
Okay, I thought maybe that was true. I didn't know.
No, I would think
there's always some controversy going on somewhere, you know what I mean?
It can't be in the tech shed this year. We'll make it somewhere else. I've just made it for you, so that's probably it. But incidents on the track?
Is my understanding, and like I said, I'm not an official for Five Flags, but my understanding is that the provisionals actually do start ahead of the last chance racers, is my understanding.
Oh, so they are the dead tail end then. Wow. Well, let me ask you this then. During both of these 20-lap snowball qualifiers, any major incidences that took out anybody who wound up not qualifying, of course, or anything?
Gary Helton, who is a former Southern All-Stars champion, was put to the rear. He spun out Stephen Davis, and he was put to the back. And actually, both of them probably would have got in if not for that. But turned out that Hunter Robbins, who was 14 years old last year when he won the Snowflake 100, he's currently 15 years old. He won the second last chance race.
Yeah.
Over one of our local guys. Well, not local, but from Fairhope, Alabama, Grant Infinger. And then Tim Curry from all the way up in Michigan finished third. Now, the first one was won by Ryan Foster, who is current ARCA driver, and I think y'all are familiar with him. I believe he ran down there quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
In Florida, he was kind of hooked up with Wayne Anderson there for a while. He won the first one, and then, let's see here. I'm sorry, who was second?
There's five people yelling at their computers right now because they know already.
Yeah, let's see now. We have Ryan Foster. I've got numbers written down, and I'm having one of those brain fades here. Third was David Hole.
There you go.
Number 11. Who is number 11?
That's Curry?
No, this is the first last chance race. Was David Rogers. David Rogers. There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, David Rogers ended up finishing second, so he did make the cut.
Okay. But nothing else major happened on the track there?
No, the qualifying races were fairly clean, except for, like I said, Gary Helton did get into Stephen Davis, and they ended up putting Helton to the back for that. There weren't any majorly tore up cars. Now, Travis Kittleson started up toward the front in the second one and ended up finishing last. Just did not run good at all. And Charlie Menard from Wisconsin, who won the Speedfest, what was it, 2005?
Yep.
At Lakeland?
Yep.
He finished next to last in the last chance race. So it was a real tough field.
Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like, you know, some hit it, some didn't, and some are going home and some are staying till tomorrow, so that's what it always boils down to.
I was just really surprised, and I do not know why. Maybe we'll find out later, but I do not know why in the world Bush Miller did not run the second last chance race, being that he was starting on the pole. I do not know the answer to that one.
That'll be an interesting question. Maybe you can track it down and find out for us. Do me a favor, search through your records there. Look for the number 52, Shane Miller.
The what?
Sean Miller, the 52.
Oh, Sean Murphy.
Murphy, sorry, you got me.
Okay, Sean Murphy is actually starting in the Snowflake 100. Okay, he qualified 27th.
Cool. All right, so he's in. We got his.
Yeah, he made it. That's out of 60 cars, though. So.
Yeah, his girlfriend was talking to me earlier on the air and giving me some information about they were getting ready because the.
Yeah, they're just getting ready to start. What it is you know, the schedule is there's no specific set time. It says qualifying starts at this time, and it just runs on because there's so much going on. So the Snowflake's fixing to start here in just probably about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it is.
So hopefully we'll be out here about 11 o'clock.
I started to say it's 10 after 10 your time. It's 10 after 11 our time in Eastern
right.
time.
Right. So it'll be starting here in probably about 10 minutes.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you by midnight our time, 11 o'clock your time, about the overall outcome of the Snowflake. And we will let our listeners go. We're going to go ahead and shut down the stream here in a little while, folks, and we will go ahead and give you that information live over the message board and get you information. But we will do a live interview with you, Steve, and save it so that they can hear it in our show when we put it up on the internet tomorrow morning.
Okay, hopefully my voice will hold up for you.
As
you can
fine.
Tell, I sound pretty bad.
You're doing fine. I've been here for the 5.5, 6 hours, too. So I'm,
there you go. There
I'm
you
getting
go.
Run down, too. But anyway, I want to do that because I got things happening here. My wife's the head scorer at East Bay Raceway Park. They've gotten done. She's going to head back this way. I want to grab the kid that's here with me. We're going to meet in the middle and eat and grab some breakfast out at the old Waffle House or something. So,
okay, anyway. Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you a call when this is over, and hopefully my cell phone will hold up. It's on its last bar, so if we suddenly disconnect, you'll know why.
No problem, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you in about an hour or maybe an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right, Steve Meyer, bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, live from Five Flags Speedway, letting you know that those that got in, those that didn't, and a lot of people didn't show up for those last chance races as if they were having a reason, and we're not sure what the reasons might be.
What's going on, folks? Will you be able to hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, I had to use a different phone, as you can tell. Matt Hawkins from Georgia, he was the 2005 Southern All-Star Series champion. He won.
And this is the Snowflake 100 we're talking about, right?
Right. Corey Ruble, second. He is from Dothan, Alabama. Cale Gale, who is the driver for Kevin Harvick next year, who will be sharing the Busch ride with Tony Stewart. He finished third. Jack Landis from Ohio was fourth. David Trimmy was fifth.
Pretty good. Anything interesting happened in the race?
Yeah, there was... I had a couple guys trying to, under caution, try to wreck people. Let's see here. Jack Smith, who was finished third in the ASA series, he was running second. He had a lap car get mad at him and spun him out under yellow. Trying to think of anything else. It was a good race. It was quite a few cautions. Like, I think it was about 10 cautions, but it still was a good race, though.
Well, that's good. Glad to hear everything went okay and nobody had
I'll be asleep by now, aren't you?
No, I'm doing fine. In fact, I had 5.5 hours of that stuff earlier to clear out and go through and just pick out what we actually talked about. And then we, just so you know, we had 280 listeners tonight. We had one from Nova Scotia that called and made or emailed and made comments. We had a couple out of North Carolina that actually called in and talked to the show. And one locally, that 52 driver's girlfriend, she kept bugging me to find out what was going on and stuff like that. So we had a lot of folks listening.
Okay, wait a minute. Sean Murphy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I believe he finished 10th.
Sean Murphy was 10th. That's great.
I believe so, unless he was a lap down. That was me writing him down when he came across the line, and I believe he was 10th because I do not remember him losing a lap, and that's not official.
No, I understand. No problem, man. That's good. I'll pass it on to her and let her hear it. All right, man. Well, we're going to do it again tomorrow. So what time are we cranking up tomorrow?
It will start on time tomorrow. It'll start at 2 o'clock. The Snowball Derby will start at 2 o'clock.
Okay. Well, then what about 1:40 or something like that? You give me a call. Let me know if there's anything interesting that happened before they got started. Anybody had to fall out, couldn't make it or something like that.
Okay.
And then we'll just get an update from you when it's over, and that should take till probably real close to 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Well, 300 laps. It usually doesn't get. It usually takes about 3 hours to run it. So.
Okay. So it'll be about.
I would say 5 o'clock my time, probably 6 o'clock your time, more than likely.
Right. Oh yeah, I got to remember that. You're going to call me at 1:40 your time, which is 2:40 mine.
Yeah, I should. Yeah.
Okay. All right,
okay,
man.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
All right. Thanks a bunch, Steve. Appreciate the work.
Okay. All right, man. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, turn your attention back to your internet hookup, and we will talk to you on the other side. We appreciate you taking time to listen in tonight. We appreciate you taking time to listen to us anytime. And those that called in, got to thank Lori and thank Mr. Finney for taking the time, Kevin, for giving us a call. And Rick and all the other folks who hung out on the message board with us, we appreciate that. And we hope you get all the information you need. We hope we helped you a little bit. Even if we weren't the fastest guy on the block, we hopefully got a little bit deeper into it and found out some more information for you than you would have known otherwise. Thanks so much, and have a great night. And we will catch up on the other side with the snowflake. And tomorrow, don't forget, Snowball Derby starts 2 in the afternoon. We'll be with you for the duration. Thanks so much for Short Track America and Karnak.com. We'll see you tomorrow.